They're blocking our retreat. At once, Bean understood a third and most important reason for what was happening. The buggers had learned the wrong lessons from the previous battles. Up to now, Ender's strategy had always been to ensure the survival of as many human ships as possible. He had always left himself a line of retreat. The buggers, with their huge numerical advantage, were finally in a position to guarantee that the human forces would not get away. There was no way at the beginning of this battle to predict that the buggers would make such a mistake. Yet throughout history, great victories had come as much because of the losing army's errors as because of the winner's brilliance in battle. The buggers have finally learned that we humans value each and every individual human life. We don't throw our forces away because every soldier is the queen of a one-member hive. But they've learned this lesson just in time for it to be hopelessly wrong. For we humans do, when the cause is sufficient, spend our own lives. We throw ourselves onto the grenade to save our buddies in the foxhole. We rise out of the trenches and charge the entrenched enemy and die like maggots under a blowtorch. We strap bombs on our bodies and blow ourselves up in the midst of our enemies. We are, when the cause is sufficient, insane. They don't believe we'll use Dr. Device because the only way to use it is to destroy our own ships in the process. From the moment Ender started giving orders, it was obvious to everyone that this was a suicide run. These ships were not made to enter an atmosphere. And yet to get close enough to the planet to set off Dr. Device, they had to do exactly that. Get down into the gravity well and launch the weapon just before the ship burns up. And if it works, if the planet is torn apart by whatever force it is in that terrible weapon, the chain reaction will reach out into space and take out any ships that might happen to survive. Win or lose, there'd be no human survivors from this battle. They've never seen us make a move like that. They don't understand that, yes, humans will always act to preserve their own lives. Except for the times when they don't. In the bugger's experience, autonomous beings do not sacrifice themselves. Once they understood our autonomy, the seed of their defeat was sown. In all of Ender's study of the buggers, in all his obsession with them over the years of his training, did he somehow come to know that they would make such deadly mistakes? I did not know it. I would not have pursued this strategy. I had no strategy. Ender was the only commander who could have known, or guessed, or unconsciously hoped that when he flung out his forces, the enemy would falter, would trip, would fall, would fail. Or did he know at all? Could it be that he reached the same conclusion as I did? That this battle was unwinnable? That he decided not to play it out? That he went on strike? That he quit? And then my bitter words, "the enemy's gate is down," triggered his futile, useless gesture of despair, sending his ships to certain doom because he did not know that there were real ships out there, with real men aboard, that he was sending to their deaths? Could it be that he was as surprised as I was by the mistakes of the enemy? Could our victory be an accident? No. For even if my words provoked Ender into action, he was still the one who chose this formation, these feints and evasions, this meandering route. It was Ender whose previous victories taught the enemy to think of us as one kind of creature, when we are really something quite different. He pretended all this time that humans were rational beings, when we are really the most terrible monsters these poor aliens could ever have conceived of in their nightmares. They had no way of knowing the story of blind Samson, who pulled down the temple on his own head to slay his enemies. On those ships, thought Bean, there are individual men who gave up homes and families, the world of their birth, in order to cross a great swatch of the galaxy and make war on a terrible enemy. Somewhere along the way, they're bound to understand that Ender's strategy requires them all to die. Perhaps they already have. and yet they obey and will continue to obey the orders that come to them. As in the famous charge of the Light Brigade, these soldiers give up their lives, trusting that their commanders are using them well. While we sit safely here in these simulator rooms, playing an elaborate computer game, they are obeying, dying so that all of humankind can live. And yet we who command them, we children in these elaborate game machines, have no idea of their courage, their sacrifice. We cannot give them the honor they deserve because we don't even know they exist. Except for me. There sprang into Bean's mind a favorite scripture of Sister Carlotta's. Maybe it meant so much to her because she had no children. She told Bean the story of Absalom's rebellion against his own father, King David. In the course of a battle, Absalom was killed. When they brought the news to David, it meant victory. It meant that no more of his soldiers would die. His throne was safe. His life was safe. But all he could think about was his son, his beloved son, his dead boy. Bean ducked his head so his voice would be heard only by the men under his command. And then, for just long enough to speak, he pressed the override that put his voice into the ears of all the men of that distant fleet. Bean had no idea how his voice would sound to them. Would they hear his childish voice, or were the sounds distorted so they would hear him as an adult, or perhaps as some metallic, machine-like voice? No matter. In some form, the men of that distant fleet would hear his voice, transmitted faster than light. God knows how. "Oh, my son Absalom," Bean said softly, knowing for the first time the kind of anguish that could tear such words from a man's mouth. My son Absalom. Would God I could die for thee, O Absalom, my son. My sons." He had paraphrased it a little, but God would understand. Or if he didn't, Sister Carlotta would. "Now," thought Bean. "Do it now, Ender. You're as close as you can get without giving away the game. They're beginning to understand their danger. They're concentrating their forces. They'll blow us out of the sky before our weapons can be launched." "All right. Everybody except Petra's squadron," said Ender. "Straight down as fast as you can. Launch Dr. Device against the planet. Wait till the last possible second. Petra, cover as you can." The squadron leaders, Bean among them, echoed Ender's commands to their own fleets. And then there was nothing to do but watch. Each ship was on its own. The enemy understood now and rushed to destroy the plummeting humans. Fighter after fighter was picked off by the inrushing ships of the Formic fleet. Only a few human fighters survived long enough to enter the atmosphere. "Hold on," thought Bean. "Hold on as long as you can." The ships that launched too early watched their Doctor Device burn up in the atmosphere before it could go off. A few other ships burned up themselves without launching. Two ships were left. One was in Bean's squadron. "Don't launch it," said Bean into his microphone, head down. "Set it off inside your ship. God be with you." Bean had no way of knowing whether it was his ship or the other that did it. He only knew that both ships disappeared from the display without launching. And then the surface of the planet started to bubble. Suddenly, a vast eruption licked outward toward the last of the human fighters, Petra's ships, on which there might or might not still be men alive to see death coming at them. To see their victory approach. The simulator put on a spectacular show as the exploding planet chewed up all the enemy ships, engulfing them in the chain reaction. But long before the last ship was swallowed up, all the maneuvering had stopped. They drifted, dead. Like the dead bugger ships in the vids of the second invasion. The queens of the hive had died on the planet's surface. The destruction of the remaining ships was a mere formality. The buggers were already dead.